The message today comes from 1 John 3, verses 11 through 18. I've called this Christian love. It really will be five features of Christian love. I really am absolutely delighted to talk about Christian love this morning, because Christian love is the work of Christ in us. This is how we should think about Christian love. It is Christ's love within us that we share one to another. That's what Christian love is. And what we are called to love our families. When we go home, parents, love your children. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Children, love your parents. Siblings, love each other. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about Christian love within the church. We're talking about loving each other. We're called to love our neighbors. We're called to love our enemies. But that's not what this passage is about. We're called to love God. We're called to love God above all things. And we're called to love the Word of God. But that's not what this passage is about. Brothers and sisters, I'm giving you enough time here to turn the burner on and get things simmering in your mind's eye. What we're talking about this morning is so critically important to be a biblical church and to be biblical Christians, and that is our love for each other. Christian love. The love of Christ in us that we share one to another. 1 John 3, reading from verse 11 to verse 18. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Now, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would deliver your word with power into our hearts, administer your grace to our souls. We so desperately need you and your work in our lives, and so often we're oblivious to it. I pray that you would cause us to feel, to sense our moment-by-moment need for your presence and power in our lives. Father, we pray by your word and by your spirit, be gracious to us this morning. We have nothing if you do not move in mercy and compassion. Reach forth your hand. Help us in our time of need, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we really go into this outline of five features of Christian love, a couple of phrases just to point out about what I was saying earlier. Christian love really begins with Christ's work within us. You can look at the last phrase of verse 15, abiding in him, eternal life abiding in him. And then the last phrase of verse 17, God's love abiding in him. And just think of that word abiding. It means living. It means taking up residence. Eternal life, taking up residence within us. God's love has taken up residence within us, and one of the key evidences of that is our love for each other. The last sentence of verse 14 clues us in to just how important this topic is. You tell me if it can get more significant than this. End of verse 14. Whoever does not love abides in, say it with me if you see it, death. And that's the worst place to be abiding. Because what that means is still alienated from God. It means still in a state of spiritual death. How do we know? You don't love the brethren. You don't love the church. It's evidence that you still abide in death. Does it get more important than that? How important is Christian love? It's of supreme importance within the body life of the church. Friends, we're not talking about a side issue. We're talking about the bullseye center core of Christian living. Love. Christian love. The love of Christ poured out into our hearts that has made us new creations. And now we share that love one to another. Christian love. Five features of Christian love. First of all, Christian love is essential. Christian love is essential. That means necessary. Water is essential for life. You have to have it. You need water in your body. You need water. It's essential. Oxygen, too, is essential for life. It's necessary. Christian love is essential within the church. Now, several verses on this. This is the first and key point. The key feature of Christian love, that it is essential. First, verse 11. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning. Really just saying this has always been the case. This has always been the case. You've heard this from the beginning of Christ's ministry. This is what you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. John is backing up. He's saying, let's start here. Love one another. But then also, verse 14, the end of it, whoever does not love abides in death. So the flip side of that is true. For those who abide in life, those who abide in life in Christ, do love the brethren. Do share the love of Christ with each other. You know, so many things we could share with each other. And the good things, and we'd appreciate. You share your time with someone to help them. You can share your money with someone to help them. You can share your words with someone to help them. But all of this must be seen in the bigger picture of sharing the love of Christ with each other. It's a duty, but it's a joyous privilege. Are you with me, church? It's a duty we have one to another, and it's a joyous privilege that we have in the household of God to love one another. But also verse 16, again, we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. That's giving you a little foreshadowing to one of these features of Christian love that we'll look at this morning. Christian love will often require sacrifice. It's looking out for the good of others, even at cost to ourselves. Now, one more verse on this. You see, this idea of love pervades the passage. It's through the whole passage. Verse 18, little children, which is one of the affectionate ways the Apostle John refers to the church. Little children, let us not love in word or talk. What he means there is not merely in word or talk. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Indeed, this is an action item. This is a hands and feet issue. This is a rubber meets the road issue. Love in deed, but it's also an issue of doing things according to God's word. Love in deed and love in truth. Aren't you thankful for people who will tell you the truth when you need to hear the truth most? Christian love is essential. Let's back up in a general sense and just make sure at least we're on the same page of what love is. so much we could say about love, but I'll try to summarize this in a definition. Love is an affectionate care for another with a commitment to seek their good, even at personal cost. Yes, I'll repeat it. Love is an affectionate care for another. There's always a heart aspect to love. It's not being robotic. It's not being mechanical and just doing chores, but it's an affectionate love. It's an affectionate concern for another with a commitment to seek their good. That's the essence of love, seeking the good of another, even at personal cost. Husbands, love your wives. Seek their good, even at personal cost, even at personal sacrifice. Love your wives, and wives, love your husbands. And parents, love your children. Seek their well-being, even when you have to make sacrifices. Children, love your parents. Siblings, love each other. Brothers and sisters, let's love each other like there's no tomorrow and seek the good of each other, even at cost to ourselves. Christian love. That's what love is. It's an affectionate care for another person or persons that comes with a commitment to work for their good, even at personal cost. Church, I need to know, are you awake this morning? Christian love is a sincere and steadfast love that permeates the church of God. Permeates means it just goes all the way through. It's everywhere. Like if you walk into a kitchen and there's a pleasing aroma, sometimes the whole house, right? Walking through the house, what is that? Dad must be cooking. An Italian aroma permeates the house. It means it's worked its way all the way through. And the sincere and steadfast love should permeate the church of the living God who saved us through the blood of Christ. Sincere and steadfast love. Steadfast means it sticks with it. Steadfast means this is a resilient love. Steadfast means it endures difficulties. By forgiving, it endures difficulties. By reconciling, it endures difficulties. By humbling ourselves and admitting we are wrong and compromising in certain situations, it endures difficulties. What would our relationships look like if we did not forgive each other? What relationships would we be able to have if we were not able to reconcile and make peace with others? A sincere and steadfast love. Romans 12:9. Let love be genuine. A sincere love. 1 Peter 1:22. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, that means having come to faith in Christ, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Our love for each other, brethren, beloved of God, is a real-time, flesh and blood manifestation of the love of Jesus Christ one to another. That's what Christian love is. Ephesians 4:32 has this for a memory verse. Be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Has God forgiven you? Has Christ been tender-hearted to you? Has the Holy Spirit been kind to you? Yes and amen, and yes and amen, and yes and yes and amen. Brethren, God has been good to us. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let's not ever forget that Christian love, which is love for each other, is absolutely essential to be a biblical church, to be biblical Christians. Biblical edge means spirit-filled and according to God's word. That's what that means. Filled with the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. With our beliefs and our practices and our love shaped by God's word. Not our feelings. Not traditions. Not opinions. Not, heaven forbid, not what the world says is love. Christian love is essential. Secondly, Christian love is unusual. Christian love is unusual. In the world, it stands out. It's basically what I'm saying here, that Christian love is a light in the darkness. Christian love is an oasis in the desert. In a world of selfishness, in a world of self, Christian love is unusual. Verses 12 through 13, where John contrasts the way we ought to be with the way we ought not to be. Could you think of better illustrations? Verse 12, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. So he was wicked. Since he was wicked, therefore he was also jealous. And since he was jealous, he came with violence and murder to his brother. He says, don't be like Cain. What he's saying is more than just don't murder each other. He's saying, don't set yourselves against one another in the spirit of Cain. Verse 13. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Now, let me just ask you, don't answer out loud, but answer in your mind. Why should we not be surprised if the world hates us? Well, because the world, and all of us naturally speaking, like if we weren't saved by God's grace, we'd all still be in this category. You understand that, right? We're not here because we're better than others, or smarter than others, or naturally more spiritual than others. We're here because we're saved by grace. But in the world, and all of us naturally speaking, mankind has set himself against God. And mankind, in the spirit of Satan, has set himself against God and all that God wants to do in the world. Therefore, if you come into the world as a representative of God, the world has already set itself against you. So do not be surprised if the world rejects you. Do not be surprised if the world hates the church and the message of the church and the fellowship of the church. Of course, because you're talking about a world in darkness that has wholeheartedly set itself in opposition to the holy God in pursuit of its own lusts and own passions and own riches and own power. Thank God that he sent a Savior to die for our sins. Because apart from Jesus Christ, apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, we're all in that ship headed to corruption, heaped upon corruption, heaped upon corruption, heaped upon corruption that ends in final judgment and can never be reversed. But God sent us a Savior. And Jesus shed his blood on the cross to erase the guilt of our opposition against God. This is the gospel. But the point is, our love for each other should stand out. It should be unusual. It's like a lighthouse. It's an oasis in a world of the spirit of Cain, in a world of hatred against God and opposition against God. Do not be surprised that the world hates you. Here's Christian love, which is another reason to remember that Christian love in our midst is a gift from God. It's not something that we do to stay in God's graces. It's not something that we produce and present before God. It's something that God produces within us. The love of Christ shared one with another. Turn with me to John 13, 31. John 13, 31. Because Christian love is so unusual, it becomes a key component of our witness to the watching world. Because it's so different, because it's unique, because it's an oasis, because it's a light in the darkness, because it's so unusual in this world, our love is crucial to our witness in the world. 13:31 in the Gospel of John. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him all at once." Sometimes that looks like a tongue twister if you've never read that before. He's basically saying it's time for him to go to the cross for the glory of God, for the salvation of the world. That's what he's saying. It's time. He's headed to the cross. He's laying down his life for his sheep so that they might have life and have it to the abundant. And he's doing it all for the glory of God, all for the manifestation of God's grace to the world who's rebelled against him. 33, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And he still says to us today, albeit not in person, Jesus is in heaven now, praise the Lord, but he's still working and he's still ministering. And he speaks to us by his word, and he speaks to us through his spirit. And he says to us, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Since our love is unique and peculiar, the work of Christ alive within us, a sacrificial love shared one to another, it stands out to the world. And God will use that witness in the way that God wants to use that witness. We get busy on the love and let God take care of the results of the witness of our love. It's a key component of our witness to the world. Well, I hope you're internalizing more and more this call that God has placed upon every one of us that's in Christ, that we love one another. Christian love is essential. Christian love is unusual. Third, Christian love is spiritual. Christian love is spiritual. Turn back to 1 John chapter 3. Christian love is spiritual. Verse 14 and 15. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. You see that? Being saved yields brotherly love. We know that we've passed out of death into life, that's being saved, because we love the brothers. That's one of the evidences of being saved, a brotherly love. Continuing in verse 14, whoever does not love abides in death. Now, if there's no love, there's no spiritual life. No love equals evidence of spiritual death. Love equals evidence of spiritual life. Christian love is essential, and Christian love is unusual, and Christian love is spiritual, capital S. The only reason it exists is because the Holy Spirit has given us life in Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit within us that works this brotherly love. We would never live that way on our own. On our own, we just go more down the road of me and my glory and my possessions and my good. The road of sacrificial love seeks the good of others, even at personal cost. Verse 15. Really piling it on here in verses 14 and 15. The love is a result of life, spiritual life. Verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. not talking in scientific technicalities, but you have that spirit of Cain. You're in that same category as Cain. You're wicked, therefore you're jealous, therefore you've set yourself against the very person you've been put on earth to love. And middle of verse 15, you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So there you go. Verse 15, eternal life abiding in us. Verse 14, pass from death into life. That's just different ways of saying you've come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been united to Jesus Christ who sits at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ lives within your heart. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we love each other. And we do not have the spirit of Cain toward each other, a spirit of jealousy, a spirit of wickedness, a spirit of violence and setting ourselves against one another. Brothers and sisters, we're allies in the kingdom of heaven. We're co-laborers in the kingdom of heaven. We're citizens in the household of God. We're heirs of God, co-heirs of God, together in union with Christ. Christian love is spiritual. When we were lost, we were led by, we were carried forward by our selfish desires. Just like sled dogs pulling a sled through the snow. We're just pulled and carried along by our selfish desires. But through faith in Christ and as recipients of the Holy Spirit of the one true God, we're pulled along by different desires now. Isn't it true? It better be true that we're pulled along by spiritual desires according to God's word and not selfish desires according to the flesh. Church, are you still awake or have I lost you? I was hoping the sled dog illustration would wake you up. You know, I've never used that one before. So, introduction of a new illustration into my repertoire. Here we are, lost and alienated from God, being pulled along by the sled dogs of the sinful flesh. But God gives us new life. In our life, when God saves us, He does erase the guilt of our sin. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. But that's not all that God does. He erases the guilt of our sin. And He gives us new hearts with new desires and new affections and new priorities and new pursuits. And among those is love one for another. The love of Jesus Christ is alive within us because the Holy Spirit has given life to us. And I want to connect this to the larger context of 1 John, if you turn to chapter 3, verse 24. And I want us to see this because in our passage, John writes only things that allude to the Holy Spirit, like eternal life abiding in us and pass from death into life. Those allude to the Holy Spirit. We know from Scripture those can't be there without the Holy Spirit. But if you zoom out in the bigger context of 1 John, John says explicitly that this is because of the Holy Spirit. John 3:24. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. It gets clearer than I could say it, right? And then chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Faith in Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's how we're saved. And that's how we know that we're saved. And we don't have anything else to plead before the throne of God. Our plea before God that we are right before Him is Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Without Christ and without the Spirit, we have nothing to offer God that's good and holy and acceptable. Christian love is spiritual. And we can never pursue it and we can never grow in it without depending on the Holy Spirit. And we can never pursue it and we can never grow in it without devoting ourselves to prayer. We can never pursue it and we can never grow in it without being passionate about our own personal sanctification. Sanctification is God's work within us to conform us to the likeness of Christ. And loving each other is part of the likeness of Christ. Now, let me just bolster this point for us. Not only is Christian love spiritual, but it is of supreme spiritual importance in the life of the church. Which means this, if we do not love each other, it basically cancels out everything else we do under the banner of religion. Because if the love of Christ is absent, then it really is just the banner of religion. There has to be the love of Christ. Our first point, this Christian love is essential, is not hyperbole. It literally is essential for the people of God. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Then we're going to look at verse 13. What's the point? The point is not only spiritual, but of supreme spiritual importance in the body life of the local church. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith, those are all good, great things, right? Great things. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am, say it with me, nothing. If I give away all that I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Because you can do those things from the wrong motive. It's not a surprise to us. You've read the Bible. You know you can fake devotion. Everybody knows that. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It does not boast in itself, in other words. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Well, that convicts me right there. That almost makes me want to just fall on my knees right now and repent before the Lord for like 45 minutes. Brothers and sisters, would you look at me for just a second? Love does not insist on its own way. Would you say amen? It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. You know that little secret whisper of the devil to be a little bit happy when something bad happens to someone else and you have this little bit of a told you so spirit that tries to well up inside your heart. Don't rejoice at others' wrongdoing. That's just pride and selfishness and the spirit of Cain. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Now go down to verse 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Christian love is essential. Make no mistake about it. It's essential. It's unusual. It's a light in the darkness. It's a key component of our witness. Christian love is spiritual. It wouldn't exist. We wouldn't be able to do it without the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us. Number four, Christian love is sacrificial. Now back in 1 John 3, this comes from verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. So who's the he? Jesus, and laid down his life for us is talking about what? The crucifixion, that's right. He laid down his life for us. That's how we know what love is. That's the pattern of Christian love. It's sacrificial. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Could the bar be higher? I mean, really, could the bar be higher? Here's Christ's love for us, dying in our place on the cross. Now, that's the paradigm for our love one to another. He laid down his life for us. Now, us, we lay down our lives for each other. Christian love is sacrificial. You'll never make a move in Christian love without a spirit-born willingness to make personal sacrifices for the good of others. That's what Christian love is. To make personal sacrifices for the good of others. And I had a whole list of these in my notes, but then I looked at the clock. So I'm like, well, I can't go through the list of these. But I would give it to you as homework. Go home with your friends, your family, people in the church, and talk about, okay, now let's talk about some specifics. Some concrete things, some specific things that God has called you to sacrifice for the good of another. That God has called us in the church to sacrifice at cost to ourselves for the good of another. Example upon example. And as you're discussing that sacrificial love of Christ and how it can be a paradigm or a pattern for our love one to another, you also can turn, not now, but during that time, you can also turn to John 13, 12 through 17. John 13, 12 through 17, where Jesus does this symbolic act of foot washing and then says, I've done this as an example for you. Let's review them and then wrap this thing up, okay? Christian love is essential. Number two, Christian love is unusual. If God is faithful, and He is faithful, and He works this thing out in us, it will stand out as an oasis in this desert darkness world. Number three, Christian love is spiritual. Number four, Christian love is sacrificial. That means it's patterned on Christ's sacrifice for us. And fifth and finally, Christian love is practical. That means it's not just a feeling. And brethren, it's not just a belief. It's not just words, but Christian love is to be put into practice. And this, of course, you know this already. This comes from verse 17 and verse 18. If anyone has the world's goods, by the way, that's all of us, pretty sure. You all have goods. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. Boy, that's a vivid image there, isn't it? To close your heart against someone, closing your heart, what, from the expression of love is what he's getting at. Here's love, the love of Christ. I'm closing my heart against this brother in need. Boy, that's powerful. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? That's a hypothetical question. What's the implied answer based on that whole paragraph? What's the implied answer? God's love does not abide in him. Little children, let us love not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And since love is a practical matter, and since none of us are perfected in Christian living yet, beloved, there's always room for growth in Christian love. Always room for growth in Christian love. And we'll close on this passage from 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 10. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. You see what I'm saying? There's always room for growth. I mean, what high praise from the apostle to the church at Thessalonica. Concerning brotherly love, you don't have any need for us to teach you that. You are loving. You are filled with the love of Christ. In fact, to such an extent that this, it's been known to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But then he says this, but we urge you to do this more and more. You see, there's no law against these things. There's no cap on brotherly love. So the closing exhortation is not from me to you, but Lord willing, from the Holy Spirit to all of us. Let us strive with diligence toward Christian love, and let us do so more and more, and I'll even up the ante on Paul here, and more and more and more, Because, brothers and sisters, there's always room for growth in showing sacrificial love patterned after Christ's death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Pray that your Spirit has moved and will continue to move in each one of our hearts. Either create within our hearts this morning or further cultivate within our hearts this morning a Spirit-born, sincere, and steadfast love one for another. And it's in Christ we lift this prayer. Amen.